Seniors of 2020, I'm glad you tuned in this morning. My oldest, Wade, graduated this past Wednesday. And Wade, I just want you to know that I'm so excited about your future. I'm so excited about the young man that you are. As we get started this morning, I'm going to encourage you to share this message because many of our seniors won't get a baccalaureate this year. So let this be the baccalaureate message. This is a message that is geared for seniors. It's geared for those who are looking for vision in their life. Stay with us because those of you who have been quarantined, right, you've had to find a new routine, and sometimes it's hard to see the blessing in all of it. But stay with us. Look, you're not a victim. Your whole life, you seniors of 2020, your whole life has been defined by trying times throughout this world. I mean, you were born within the year of 9/11. Hurricane Katrina happened 4 years later. 3 years later, there was a stock market crash. 2 years later, Haiti would experience a massive earthquake followed by a couple of hurricanes, and the U.S. would fight its longest war ever. So in your short life, there have been natural disasters, there have been wars, there have been famines, there have been outbreaks, to include the bird flu, the H1N1 flu, which is the pigs fly. It's the swine flu. The swine flu, right? You had to endure that. And now we're in this pandemic of COVID-19, but you are not a victim. What does all of this have to do with you and your life? I want you to hear something, class of 2020. The world needs you. It needs you to be a part of the solution. You're not put on this earth to be a liability, but to be an asset. Just as the Apostle Paul spoke to the church in Colossae, he said this. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So my question to you as you get ready to spill out into this world is, what does the world get when it gets you? Think with me for just a minute. What does the world get when it gets you? If you have your Bibles today, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 25. And as we're in Matthew 25, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read it quickly because you've been lectured now for 12 years of your life, and I don't want to sit here in a lecture with you. I want this to be exciting for you. I want this to be an important message that will impact your life forever. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is speaking of a parable here, and it starts in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, and likewise he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his lord's or his master's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord, into the joy of your master. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, sowing or reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to set this Bible down for just a moment. And as we move forward in this message, I want you to know that there are 8 points this morning. 8 is the number in Scripture of new beginnings. Remember, we're in this Pentecost season. I've already spoken to you about this, the 50 days, the 49 weeks. And as we spill over into the 50th day, it is the seventh week spilling into the eighth week, which that eight is the number of new beginnings. It is the birth of the church. God's in some ways how he sows seed throughout the world. So in this parable that we just read, Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, for it will be like a man on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. Now let's stop right here. Point number one, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You know, David said this in Psalm 24, that the earth belonged to the Lord. Now he's entrusted his property for a limited time to servants, and these servants would be like believers today. Right? These men, they belong to their master. They belong to their Lord. Life is simply an entrusted time that God allows us to have on this earth. The man is going on a journey, which means what? It means that he's going to come back. He's not going away for good. He doesn't say, I'm moving to another place. He says, I'm just going on a journey. And if he's going away on a journey, it means that he's coming back. And this is known as an eschatological discourse. All right. That's a big, big word. It simply means in many ways, it's referring to the end of times. But the end of time for all of us can be a different time. There is no doubt, unless Jesus just returns, which let's pray that he does and he returns soon. So there's point number one. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It means that we are called to be good stewards during this time that we are here. Now, point number two is found in verse 15. To one, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. So my point number two, graduates of 2020, is get this as quickly as you can. Life is not fair. Life is not equal, right? A different amount of talents were given. Different strokes for different folks. Each according to what? Their ability or his ability. So is it fair to say that others are given more ability in this life? Yes. I'll just put it this way. Are you the valedictorian? Are you the salutatorian today? Maybe, maybe not. You may have already looked for excuses and said, hey, they took easier classes, and maybe they did. But maybe there are some of you, and there's no doubt all of us have different amounts of talents. Different amounts of abilities. Life is not level. But here's the cool thing. To each one, something was given. Maybe not as much as the other. Maybe they don't have the ability for more, but to each is given something. Here's the thing. If you keep things within your ability, you will become an expert one day. You will become a sage in that talent that God has given you. Having more ability does not mean a better chance for success. This parable proves that in just a moment. I'll show it to you. A person with many talents usually, or they may not have to work as hard. They've got several talents working for them, but they can become distracted much easier. So life is not fair. Class of 2020, get this. Life isn't fair. It's not equal for everyone. Do the best with what God has given you. Point number three, we must give to receive. And immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16, then he who had received the five talents went and traded, right? And that's very important. He went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, so the second is about to do what the first has done. Likewise, he who had received the two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and he hid his master's money. Point number three, we must give in order to receive. Right now, life is all about you. Now, class of 2020, it may not feel like that. Graduation looked a lot different at Canyon High School and Randall High School this year. But here's the truth. The truth is, it's not always going to be about you. As a matter of fact, as you mature in your Christian faith, you're going to see it's about what you can do for God during this time that he's given us here on this earth, and what we can do for others. So we must be willing to give of our lives in order to receive. See, the key to success is this. The one with the five talents, he traded. Now, if he traded, he didn't trade with himself. It meant he included others in what he had. These two, both of them traded. Matter of fact, the second one, it said he did as the first. So they traded. What does it mean? That they employed others to help them have an increase, to help them with their goal, to help them with their vision of what they wanted to accomplish. They included others, right? Who knows how much they made? The one with five talents employed others, and as the profits came, he probably paid them himself and eventually his master upon his return. He provided the opportunity for others. Business owners with a right heart, this is what they do. They provide opportunity for others. Others to share in their trade, others to share in their knowledge, others to share in their wisdom. Look, we have a lot of people here in the church that understand the gaps that I have, and they're here to fill those gaps, and I'm here to fill the gaps that they have. We're here for one another. We are the body of Christ, right? And it's so important for us to see this. It's amazing to me how many people complain about their jobs, complain that life is not fair, it's not equal, complain that they don't get paid enough or they don't have enough. But look, if your boss were any smarter, if you're complaining about your boss, if he were or she were any smarter, they probably wouldn't have hired you. Just check that one, right? This man, or these two first men here that we see, they look for opportunity. They look to invite others into the trade. He traded. It wasn't just about him. Jesus states these things. In order to find life, you must lose it. Greater love hath no man that he lay his life down for his friends. See, this man shared, but not with just anyone. He couldn't trade with just anyone because he knew that his master was going to return one day. So he needed someone who can make a profit, someone who was proactive and not reactive. An asset and not a liability, someone he could trust, dependable, honest, full of integrity. His life, eternity depended upon it. So he couldn't just trust that with anyone and everyone. You know, this parable is a parable about heaven. So eternity truly depends upon how faithful we are with the responsibility, the gifts and the talents and the abilities, responsibility that Christ has given us while we're here. Point number four, a day is coming. In verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he came back and he settled accounts. Now, like I said, this is an eschatological discourse. It speaks in some ways about the end of time as we know it, but there's a day coming when we all will stand before the Lord, either on this earth or when we die. And these talents, these abilities that are given, they're given for us during us, or given to us during a season, this season we know as life. What we do with it now will always matter. There will come a time when you're my age, or hopefully even before that, when you realize that you are simply a product of the choices that you've made. Good choices, good decisions now will reap a great harvest later. It's not too early to make good choices. Your new beginning can start this very day as you venture out, as you spill out into this world, class of 2020. So here we are. We got to get a game plan. It's so important in this life to understand that Jesus is coming back, and our time is somewhat limited. So get a game plan with what you have been given. There's no doubt that sometimes you have to change your game plan in order to adapt to reality, the reality of the moment. And most coaches go in watching previous games, watching films, and when they get there, sometimes the opponent has changed their game plan. So reality means that we have to be willing to adjust, but we still keep the mission in focus to win in this life, to do the best with what we've been given. I tell people this all the time. I say, you know, when I really understood what righteousness meant, that it is as it should be between me and my Heavenly Father, that every time I sin or every time I fall short does not disqualify me because of righteousness. I have His righteousness upon me. So I'm no longer trying to make the team. Now it's time for me to understand that I am the team, and I can focus on my position within the team of God. The talents that He's given me, the abilities that he's given me. If I'm the quarterback, I'm going to learn the plays and I'm going to do my best so that the coach, right? So that the crowd, so that most importantly, the owner, our Lord, will be proud of how we've used and stewarded the gifts, the talents, the graces, the mercies that he's given me. He's not looking to kick me off the team. He wasn't looking to kick the one with that was only given the one talent off the team. That's not who God is. He's a God of love. But this, let's keep moving here. But just know a day is coming and we are to be prepared for that day. Life changes and you're going to see a lot of different seasons in your life. And it's going to change. And there's times that you may have to adapt the game plan to your current reality. Just know this, that God never changes. His love, his faithfulness endures forever. Then in verse 20, so he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This tells me that the Lord is joyful, that he's got this masterful joy that just exudes from him. And these first two understood that. They were excited to be in his presence. He also, who had received the two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master, into the joy of your Lord. Point number five, faithful in the little things brings opportunity. Faithful with what you have brings opportunity. Zechariah stated, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices in the work to begin, in the new work that begins in you. The Lord rejoices in that, no matter how big, no matter how great, no matter how small, the Lord rejoices in the work that he's given you. So be responsible with that, with the talents and the ability that he's given you in this life. See, the first two were responsible with what they were given. Notice the talents didn't belong to them anyway. The talents belonged to their master. They were called to steward them well. And as they did this, what happened? A greater opportunity was given to them. Another thing to notice was this. The opportunity was the same for the one who had five talents and the one who had two talents. Because they did what they were supposed to and they showed an increase, the promise was the same for both of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. They both got to celebrate the same promise, the same blessing. Both received more and both were allowed to enter into the joy of their master as an inheritance, just as a son or daughter would receive. Point number six comes in verse 24 and 25. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours. Point number six, very important. You've got to keep your mission in focus because your mission is to be over your fear. So mission over fear is point number six. This man allowed his fear to dictate his future. His circumstances became bigger than his God. They became bigger than his master. His master wasn't one to be feared. I mean, he tells the other two to enter into the joy of their master, and that's huge. It's a masterful joy. He made the master out to be something he wasn't. His emotions were bigger than his truth. Because he was lazy, he found excuses. What would the master have told him if he would have advanced his talent? Maybe if he would have just invested that talent. It may not have brought in as much as the others, but at least it would have shown an increase, right? But I believe that the master would have given him what he gave the others, the same as the others. Enter into the joy of your master. See, God is good and he wants good things for you, but you must be responsible with what he has given you and how he intends you to use it. Though the talent and ability wasn't the same for these men, the reward would have been if he would have been faithful to the mission. Don't let fear bury your talent. Vision will set you on a mission. And when you no longer have vision, you lose mission. What do you want to do with your life? How will you get there? What mission's in front of you? What are your goals? And what are your strategies to obtain those goals? One talent. Just having one talent. This man who was given one talent. Listen, church, this is very important. That could have been a larger blessing than having many talents, than the one with five talents. You can focus on one thing and you can make it great. You know, I don't want a surgeon working on me who's also an auto mechanic. And I will definitely say this. I don't want an auto mechanic doing surgery on me. I want each to focus on what they're gifted at, on their ability, on what God has given them. And mission, keeping that mission, brings you into a place of overcoming your fears. You're afraid. Some of you are afraid this morning to leave and go so far away to college. Some of you are concerned about the trade school that you'll be going to. And by the way, I love trade schools. I've seen people who have gone to trade schools. Let me say this. I've got a friend of mine that in the summer camps behind me in Colorado. And he was a plumber from the time he was young. And eventually he owned a plumbing store. And he employed and incorporated, traded with many, and retired at the age of 55 and is enjoying his time in Colorado. He took that talent, that one talent, and regardless of what others said about that talent, he went and he invested it. He's done something great with his life and continues to do so. Now he can pour himself into ministry anytime, at any place that he wants to. So here's the thing. Some of you might be afraid about going away to a trade school or to a college. Some of you would like to go into the military, but who knows where you might wind up. When you're on mission, your fears will begin to fade. If you'll just ask Jesus, what is my mission? What is my purpose? What is your plan for my life? And as that becomes more clear, as you stay on that mission, your fears will begin to fade. But if you lose mission, you will lose vision and you will put everyone else at risk. You know, Proverbs tells us, all right, that where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. They don't care about tomorrow. They simply live for the day, and that is dangerous. Right? We have to understand that there is a mission before us. And as we stay on that mission, it will put away our fears. I was thinking as I wrote this, there was a time when I was in the Army when we were in a live firing training mission, and we were given a mission to overtake a mountain. There was a clearing by the stream where live rounds would be fired over our heads into the embankment next to us, so that we could, you know, hear what it sounded like when bullets flew over us. And they told us, they prepared us for this. As a matter of fact, they even put a little fear in us, said we lose a couple every year. I don't think that's true, but that's what they told us, right? Trying to put a little fear in us. And we were sent out by twos, and me and my partner made it just fine. But when we looked back, there was a soldier that was laying down with his hands over his head, and he was afraid. His fear overcame his mission. He lost focus of his mission because of all of the distractions that were going on. So we had to go back and get him. He wasn't hit. He was just simply afraid. He lost focus of the other side, and his fears caused him to abort the mission. He became inwardly focused. You know, it wasn't hard to go back and get him because he became our mission. But his fear put us all what? At risk again. Life can be fearful. But as long as you stay on mission, hold on to what you know, your vision, your values, your mission, you will overcome. And finally, in verse 26, we find point number 7. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents." See, this doesn't just deal with a man's laziness, but it deals with a lack of his responsibility. When someone is lazy, they begin to blame. He even blamed his master, right? When someone doesn't fulfill their responsibility, it doesn't mean that that responsibility goes away. It doesn't mean that the task goes away. What it means is that someone else has to be responsible for your lack of responsibility. That's not what the world needs. It's got plenty of those. An entitlement mentality will always blame and never want to take responsibility. Victims never succeed in life. They are always full of excuses. This man blames his master, the one that gave him the opportunity to steward, and yet he blames him. I'm sure he said, well, you gave them more abilities, more talents. It's just simply not fair from the start. This man should have realized the opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of an opportunity. He didn't believe in himself, and yet he was self-consumed. He looked for excuses. He wasn't a giver. He was a taker. He didn't trade. He didn't exchange. He didn't create opportunity for others. He just wanted what he thought he deserved. I love this because what do we see happen? His master takes from him and gives to the one who had 10. God's not a socialist. He took from him and gave it to the one who had the most. Verse 29, to wrap this up, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. Now, that's a great promise. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. You know, us parents out here over the class of 2020, what do we want our kids to have? We want them to have life more abundantly than we did. We want them to have opportunity greater than we ever had. We want to provide, but we also know now's the time where they go through their rite of passage to become the men and women they're called to be in this lifetime. We want what's best for our children. We always will. And God our Father wants what's best for His children. So we must see what He says here first in verse 29. He says, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and you will have an abundance. That's our Heavenly Father's desire for each and every one of us. But then He goes on to say, he who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Point number 8, responsibility leads us to an abundant life. Being responsible with this time called life that we have, that we've been given. Understanding that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and being responsible with that. See, it's a time of new beginning. It leads us to this place throughout our life of abundance. Now, that may not be monetarily, but a life that's fulfilled. I know a lot of Christian missionaries that have been out there that have not received abundance in finances. They've given everything they've had. I've even known those who have given their lives trying for the sake of Christ, but they lived the abundant life. They had a return 30, 60, and 100-fold. As I said, the number 8 in Scripture is the number of new beginnings, a change, a new start. So I would encourage you, class of 2020, start out good. God is not looking to come back and punish. He's looking for us to sow good seed that brings an abundance. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And in this parable, He wants to invite us into His joy. You know, one of the things that the person with the one talent said is that our God reaps where He does not sow, that he has a harvest where He hasn't sown seeds. And then the master says that as well. That tells me that He includes us in ministry with Him. I believe this is why Jesus said, greater things shall you see and do, because we take the gospel around the world where God will harvest one day. Don't lose sight of your mission. Go and make disciples around the world with the talents, the abilities, and the gifts that He's given you. Ensure those, protect them, be responsible with them, and watch the abundant life, a life of fulfillment, A life of giving and including others and inviting them to the table. Watch what that life will produce in you and in the lives of those around you. Stay on mission. Hold to your values. Hold to how you were brought up. Do the things of God and watch them do for you. It's incredible. It's been an incredible life for me as I surrendered to Jesus. And the talent, really, the one talent he's given me. It's been incredible. I want to encourage you too, if you don't know Christ, he has a plan and a purpose. He has a talent and ability that he wants to unfold to reveal to you and what he created you for. So ask him. Ask him that you'll be fruitful with the call that he's called you to walk in. That you'll multiply 30, 60, and 100-fold in this life. Let this be the beginning in your life for something great. And when you spill into this world, let them know that you have arrived, not for your sake, but for Christ's sake. Class of 2020, we love you. Go. And let your ability go throughout this earth and set it up for God to come and have a great harvest one day. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this class. I know it's been a different year. It's been a different last semester. It's been a different graduation. But Father, different doesn't mean it's wrong. It means that you are stirring up something new in us, that you're creating in us a time set aside to understand your plan, to understand your purpose in our life. Father, let us be good and faithful stewards in this season of life, in every season of life. Let us be good and faithful stewards and lead us by the power of your Spirit. Father, let us hear your voice more clearly as we stay focused on the mission, that on the task at hand. Father, I pray over this senior class, Father, let them not lose their values, but let them be leaders where they are. And when others try to entice them, try to encourage them to do the wrong thing, let them stand upon you and your word, knowing that you are unshakable. Let them be unshakable. Because it's those who are unshakable, immovable, that become the greatest leaders. Father, thank you for this class. And we thank you for what they're about to give to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, it's great to have you with us this morning. And we would love to pray for you, pray for your sons and daughters. If you would, just text the number on your screen and allow us the opportunity to pray for the talents and the abilities of your children. I will see you soon. Be blessed.